On another occasion, also in Egypt, I witnessed a no less terrifying scene. For a clear representation of this, you should first know that formerly, in every one of the large Egyptian centers or towns, there was an enormous square in which all kinds of public ceremonies were held, both religious and military, and where masses of beings from the whole of Egypt assembled for these occasions. Those beings, especially the masses who belonged at the given period to the weaker castes, impeded the ceremonies, and therefore a certain pharaoh ordered ropes to be stretched around the squares to prevent the beings belonging to the lower castes from disturbing the progress of the ceremonies. But when these ropes were stretched, it soon became evident that they would not always be able to withstand the pressure of the crowd and would frequently end up by breaking. So the pharaoh ordered what are called metal ropes to be made, whereupon these known as priests consecrated them and gave them the name of sacred cables. These sacred cables stretched around the square used for public ceremonies, particularly in the large towns of Egypt, were of colossal length, sometimes as much as one centrotino, or as the contemporary beings of your planet would say, 10 miles long. Well, I once witnessed how a crowd of ordinary Egyptians began to skewer up on one of those sacred cables, just like an Asiatic shashlik. All the beings, without distinction of sex or age, who up till then had belonged to the ruling class. On that same night, with the help of 40 pairs of buffalo, this novel skewer was dragged down and thrown into the River Nile. I saw such punishment meted out in this period, both during my personal sojourns on the surface of this planet of yours and through my large Tescuano from the planet Mars, and your contemporary favorites, who are naive to the nth degree, grow sincerely indignant that these Bolsheviks of theirs shot a certain Tom Brown. If we compare the actions of the former three brain beings who were subject to this psychic state with the actions of the contemporary Bolsheviks, these latter ought even to be given praise and thanks that, although the various consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabuffer are completely crystallized in their common presence, as they are in general in the presence of all contemporary three-brain beings there, in the very heat of that period, when they were merely puppets under the influence of the cosmic law of Solionensius, they manifested themselves in such a way that the dead body of the person they shot could at least be recognized as Tom Brown's and nobody else's. At this place of his tale, Beelzebub sighed, and gazing at one spot, became profoundly thoughtful. Hassin and Ahun, with a shade of surprise but also some sadness on their faces, began to stare at him with intense expectation. After a little while, Hassin made an inexplicable grimace, and then, in a voice expressing pained tenderness, addressed Beelzebub, who was still deep in thought. Grandfather, dear grandfather, please express aloud the information you acquired during your long existence, and which you have in your common presence, so particularly dear to me, since it may give me material for an answer to the question that has just arisen in my essence, an answer that I cannot yet even vaguely represent to myself, having no data whatever about it for logical confrontation in any of the spiritualized parts of my common presence. This question arising in my essence, the answer to which is already necessary to the whole of my presence, consists in this. Even if for reasons not depending on them, these unfortunate three-brain beings who breed on the planet Earth do not have the possibility, during their responsible existence, of acquiring divine objective reason. Why is it, since they arose so long ago and their species has survived for so many centuries, that those customs and instinctive automatic habits proper to all beings could not gradually have been formed by now in their presence, thanks to the flow of time alone, even in the abnormal conditions of their ordinary existence, which existence in both the egoistically personal and the collective sense might then flow more or less tolerably from the point of view of objective reality. Having said this, our poor Hasin looked inquiringly at the cause of his arising. To this question of his favorite grandson, Beelzebub replied as follows. Well, to be sure, my dear boy, in the course of long centuries, many customs and what are called moral habits, often very good and useful for their ordinary existence, were gradually established among your favorites of the planet Earth, as on all planets where beings arise who spend part of their existence simply in ordinary processes. But herein lies the evil, that these happy achievements, which become fixed in the process of ordinary existence from the flow of time alone, and which improve through transmission from generation to generation, sooner or later disappear entirely, or are so modified that they are automatically transformed into unhappy ones, thus increasing the number of those small harmful factors that, taken as a whole, dilute more and more each year both the psyche and the very essence of your favorites. Of course, if at least any of these good customs and already automatized moral habits, fixed by time in the process of their existence, could have survived and passed by inheritance to subsequent generations, this alone would have made their existence, now so desolate in the objective sense, a little more acceptable in the eyes of an impartial observer. The causes of the complete destruction or modification of this being welfare for their tolerable existence, arising from the good customs and moral habits acquired in the passage of time, are, once again, to be found in the abnormal conditions of ordinary being existence established by them themselves. And the concentrated result of these abnormal conditions around them is a special property that arose not long ago in their psyche and that became the basic cause of all their evils. This property is called suggestibility. Thanks to this strange property, only recently fixed in their psyche, all the functionings of their common presence gradually began to be changed. And as a result, each of these beings, particularly those who arose and reached responsible age during the last centuries, came to represent in themselves that peculiar cosmic formation which has the possibility of acting only if it is constantly under the influence of another formation similar to itself. And indeed, my boy, at the present time, all these terrestrial three-brain beings, taken both as separate persons and as large or small groups, must infallibly influence or be under the influence of others. To give you a clearer picture and an all-round understanding of how customs and habits, useful for their ordinary existence, which have been automatically acquired by them in the course of centuries, either disappear without a trace or change for the worse, on account of this property of their strange psyche, we will take as an example those terrestrial three-brain beings whom all other beings of your planet call Russians, and who make up the majority of that community, named Russia. The existence of the beings who made up this large contemporary community proceeded over the course of many centuries in the neighborhood of beings belonging to certain Asiatic communities. Thanks to various events, these communities had existed for a relatively long time, and as in general happens in such cases, many good customs and moral habits had been gradually formed and fixed in the process of their ordinary existence. And these Russians, often meeting with beings of these ancient communities, ancient in the eyes of your favorites, and even at times having friendly relations with them, gradually adopted and began to use in the process of their ordinary existence many of these useful customs and moral habits. And so, my boy, thanks to that singular property of the three-brained beings of your planet, which arose soon after the Tikhliamishian civilization and became fixed in their psyche with an intensity due chiefly to the progressive deterioration in the conditions of ordinary being existence established by them, a psychic property, which from the very beginning was inherent in the common presence of the beings composing this community, later the largest, then, on account of all this, in recent centuries, they found themselves under the influence of beings of one or another of the Asiatic communities, and the whole external mode and associative psychic form of their ordinary existence proceeded under that influence. But later, thanks to changed circumstances arising once more from the terrifying process of periodic reciprocal destruction that exists only on that ill-starred planet, the three-brained beings dwelling on that part of the continent of Asia called Russia were deprived of this influence. And since being Parktog duty had also finally ceased to be actualized in their presence, that most maleficent property of their psyche called suggestibility gradually became stronger, and they, being unable to lead an independent existence, were compelled to fall under some new influences, this time the influence of the beings of European communities, chiefly of the community named France. From the time that the beings of this community of France began to influence automatically the psyche of the beings of the community of Russia, and the Russians were striving to imitate the French beings in everything, all the good customs in the process of their existence and those moral habits inherent in them, which had been borrowed either half-consciously or automatically from the beings of ancient Asiatic communities, were gradually forgotten, and new French ones were acquired. Among the automatic customs and moral habits transmitted to the beings of the community of Russia from the beings of ancient Asiatic communities, there were thousands that were indeed very good and useful. From these thousands of good customs and useful habits, let us take an example, at least two. The custom of chewing what is called kiva after consuming the first being food, and the practice of washing oneself periodically in what are called hamams. Kiva is a certain mastic prepared from various roots which is chewed after eating and which, no matter how long it's chewed, hardly ever decomposes, but on the contrary becomes more and more elastic. This mastic was invented by a wise being who belonged to one of the old Asiatic communities. It's useful to chew this kiva because it increases the amount of what is called on the earth saliva, and also of other substances formed in beings and elaborated by their planetary bodies, so that the first being food may be better and more easily transformed in them, or as they themselves say, better and more easily digested and assimilated. Thanks to this kiva, their teeth are also strengthened and their mouths are cleansed from the remains of the first food. This latter use of kiva is very necessary for your favorites, as it prevents these remains from decomposing, and so they do not give off that disagreeable odor from their mouths that has already become proper, particularly to the contemporary three-brained beings there.